Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm Delia Farquharson, and it's a good evening for discussion. God knows we need the distraction with all the snow that we've been having and the cold in the Northeast. So thank you for joining us. And remember, you can join us live on 619-639-4621. Before we get any further, I want to introduce my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi.
How are you?
It's cold. It's cold outside.
We're getting ready to have another storm.
Right. So I'm not really looking forward to that, but I guess part of living in the Northeast, right?
Yeah. So, it is part of living in the Northeast.
Living in the South, in the Atlantas and the Carolinas as well.
Which is unusual. Mm. It's very unusual because right now Atlanta and the Carolinas getting a lot of ice. So, for those of us who harbored thoughts of moving to warmer climes and considered places like the Carolinas or Atlanta, I guess not.
Well,
so our discussion this evening, our topic this evening is one that you suggested, and I think it's really an important one. Just a couple of days ago, there were several people, I think it was last night, several people arrested at a nursing home facility in Long Island for abusing those that are in their charge, that are in their care.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've heard incidents of this, forever. But I think it becomes more concerning because the population is aging.
Right.
I think right now 13% of the U.S. population are around 40 million people, I think, are over the age of 65.
Oh, really? That's that whole baby booming.
Yeah, and now more than ever, we have more people who are living beyond the age of 85. And what the statistics show is that the older you get, the more likely it is that you will suffer some kind of abuse. That's frightening.
Yeah. I mean, when I thought about the topic, it's more of, it came from a couple of different places. Working in healthcare and seeing folks who are sick is normal. That's what is involved in healthcare. But over the years, witnessing more and more older folks coming, which is consistent with what you just said, in terms of people living longer and therefore having more and more chronic ailments and the arthritis and the diabetes, especially in the African American and Caribbean population where those are chronic illnesses for us. And noting that more and more people are coming into healthcare, into hospitals with, not only chronically ill, but getting older and older and requiring more and more care. And observing loved ones and family members, it is very difficult. It is very difficult. To care for someone.
Right, as being a caregiver.
Absolutely, regardless of whether that person is your mother, your grandmother, your aunt, your cousin. You love them dearly, but it's work.
And it's work,
and it's very stressful. And that's where I'm coming at it from, in terms of, it's not for lack of love. Yes, those who work in healthcare institutions and abuse elders as well have their own issues but I wanted to look at it from a standpoint of a family member being the primary caregiver or being primarily responsible or involved in that care. It is very, very stressful, and therefore does not necessarily, they do not give off their best self in that moment or in that time or consistently so. And it's very hard. It's very
Right. And I think that's the point that you're making, is that being a caregiver is and can be very stressful. And so part of, you know, when you think about the mental health perspective on all of this,
right,
that when you are a caregiver, it is really important to do very good self-care.
Right.
To take care of your own needs and to make sure that you're getting a break and to make sure you have the kind of support in place that will make it, that will allow you to be able to get some reprieve.
Right.
Otherwise, then you might become frustrated and tired and short-tempered, and then the likelihood of taking out that frustration or you know, on your older relative is increased.
Right. Actually, the more you said it, and then thinking about a large percentage of healthcare providers, nurses, nurses' aides, transporters, and so on and so forth, are a population of color.
Service providers.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And population of Caribbean descent.
Caribbean and African.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, therefore, having, you know, on your feet 12 hours a day or however long, caring for those who are in your healthcare institution, being it a nursing home, a hospital, a hospice, or otherwise, and then in your home life, dealing with your own relative and caring for that person as well, along with all the other things that you have to deal with in your life. I am not saying it's any, you know, less stressful for anyone, but I'm just looking at the capacity of those who are primary caregivers in terms of providing that kind of one-to-one care in healthcare institutions. It is very difficult, and I am not sure if those who are in that capacity and dealing with their lives in that way, for the most part, realize how stressed they are,
right.
Realize how they are interacting with others and they themselves taking care of their own self, and realize that maybe they themselves should seek help or speak to someone or figure out a way in which they can, you know, decompress and just somehow alleviating some of the stress, not their responsibilities, but somehow better coping skills to deal with work being what it is, home life, not just your mother, your father, your elder, but also your children. You know, but that whole dynamic, where do I go to feel better and better able to deal with all of the things that make up my life?
Right, right. According to the National Center on Elder Abuse, right,
mm-hmm.
the Administration on Aging, 90% of all the abuse that occurs
mm-hmm.
occurs at the hands of family members.
How much percent?
90.
Wow.
So
really?
That is really startling. And I think that the main focus is that, you know, as caregivers, a lot of times people take on that responsibility and they take it seriously.
Right.
But when it becomes overwhelming, then...
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to release that stress. Then it, you know, it's easy to act out. So then how do we, you know, I mean, how do people recognize or identify that they may need help, that they may,
mm-hmm.
you know, that something is off balance,
right,
in
and
the
more
care dynamic,
right? And more so before something of that traumatic significance occur, where they are abusing their loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And abuse comes in a lot of different ways.
Right, right, and I'm glad you pointed that
out. You know,
out.
So how do you, I mean, I guess you can speak to more, you know, speak to that in more detail, but how do you recognize that I have a problem? I can't cope with this. You know, you've actually heard people, oh, I can't deal with this. I can't continue to
deal
with this.
Right, so let's define that. Let's define what is. We'll call it maltreatment, right?
Okay.
So what is that, abuse or neglect? So it's something that causes harm or creates a risk of harm for the person who you're caring for, right? So, you know, Are you satisfying the individual's basic needs? Are you causing harm to the person? You know, are, it could be financial harm, so it could be misusing money.
That's, you mean taking their pension and spending it?
Spending it not on them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, you know, they say, according to the Office on Aging, it says that most of the abuse is missed by professionals.
Really?
Right. Because most people are not trained on detecting abuse.
And the
elderly themselves may be reluctant or unable to, because they may be incapacitated by dementia or
something.
And this
is my daughter.
Mm-hmm. And they don't want to get them in trouble.
Absolutely,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
You know, it's really, I guess, first it's defining what constitutes abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are the things that constitute abuse?
Mm-hmm.
And then, one, for the person who's the caregiver, recognizing that that is abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the individual who's being mistreated, to understand that they need help, because people have died as a result of this maltreatment.
Yeah. Let me ask something, though.
Mm.
What would you suggest? And, I mean, I don't, not because I know, but so that I can better understand. Folks probably listening to this, or folks listening to this, could share with others. You know, in that situation, I'm a caregiver, I am a professional, or whatever I am. I have my family and so on, and I know that I am not exactly being the best caregiver to my loved one. And I am not being, you know, I'm not doing my best. I am stressed with that person. I'm tired when I get home. I am short with them. Occasionally, I might even slap them,
mm-hmm.
as I would a child, because they're not doing it fast enough, or they're taking long to do things, and I have to spend so much energy caring for this person. What are some of the things that they themselves, if they ever come to that realization, what can they do? What should they do?
I think the first thing is to recognize that, you know, that your actions are causing harm. And to stop it, that's the first thing, is to recognize that your actions are causing harm and stop. And then the next important thing, I think, is to reach out for help. Because if you need to be using those kinds of unhealthy coping skills, slapping somebody or screaming at somebody or misusing their money, then you clearly need help. You know, there's clearly, you know, so long as there are no other situation, there's no alcohol abuse or drug abuse or gambling problems that's precipitating any of the abuse.
Right.
But, you know, so then you need to reach out and seek help for yourself in terms of managing.
Mm.
And, you know, that might be, you know, the different Office of Aging in your community. It might be your church community. It might be your relatives or siblings. But reaching out and asking for help and support. And then it might also require that you, you know, find support among people who are going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You think that's an, I don't want to use the word easy, but do you think folks would gravitate towards that reluctantly, or, you know, because it, you know, to say, well, I need help to take care of mom and dad, or either one or both, you know, where people will use it like, oh, it's not easy taking care of them. And everyone will say, oh, yeah, I understand. And then they just move along and nothing change. You know, it's as if saying, as long as you have to take care of your parents, yes, we all understand that it's hard. And that's just part of it. What you're actually doing while you're caring for your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle, whomever, you know, no one else really knows the details of it except you. And you know, so do you think people will be reluctant to really come clean and say, you know what, I'm really, truly not coping well with this. I am really, truly not, you know, not doing my best here. I need help.
Right. Well, you know, I think that's going to take a certain amount of honesty with self and a certain amount of self-awareness to say that, I mean, is this what you want? Is this how you want to treat your relative?
Mm.
You know, so it's going to take a lot of awareness on your part to say, you know, I don't think that this is right. And if you're a person with good conscience, then you're going to recognize, okay, then that you know, I'm a person with good conscience. I don't want to treat my relative like this.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, something else needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
you know, something else needs to happen. And often, like I was saying before, you might take your relatives to the hospital because a medical visit is necessitated, or to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And you don't want it to be discovered that way, right? But although most of them, they say, you know, most of the abuse is missed. You know, I think for every 24 cases of abuse, I think 10 are missed, you know.
Right.
So
I guess that type of abuse, I mean, and I myself must confess, I have had more training in healthcare to look for child abuse.
Right. Most of us.
I have never really, in all honesty, been trained to look for elder abuse. Child abuse, it's clear cut, you know,
mm-hmm.
what we should do, what we should look for, who we should inform. I can't tell you that I haven't been in any formal training in saying, as a healthcare provider, to deal with elder abuse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but having gotten older now, obviously now my mom, who is not exactly a youngster anymore, she's old. So, you know, and becoming more aware of folks coming into the institution and saying, how are people caring for them, and watching the interaction between family members, especially in stressful situations when mom and dad are sick, and how do they interact and so on, and what role, how involved is mom and dad in their care? Are they just aside? You know, and I'm saying it became clear to me, and based on things that I've read, that there is an increase in folks being abused. But these elders and these older folks, as you said, are in a very tight position. One, they need these people to take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
And even more importantly, this is my son. This
right.
is my daughter. This is the person that I love. And I'm sure these people who are caring for them, it's not that they don't love them. It's just the stress of dealing with the situation. And, I guess,
the other thing is that we have to figure dementia into it.
That's
so a
true.
Large percentage of older people have dementia. So the statistics are approximately 5.1 older Americans over 65 have some kind of dementia. And so that complicates the matter
mm-hmm.
because the person might be difficult or confused or
mm-hmm.
so it complicates the matter when you put dementia in the mix.
Never thought about it. You're right.
You know,
yeah.
and so then it's not just it becomes more difficult to care for a person with dementia, one, but also in terms of reporting or recognizing it, the individual who has the dementia
mm-hmm.
may be so confused or so demented that they don't even recognize, and so it's easy to explain away the bruise or to explain away the broken
mm-hmm.
bones.
Right, and it makes them more difficult to care for as
mm-hmm.
well, where they're not participating as actively as you would
right.
want
and,
them to.
Right. In 2009, according to, again, the Department of Aging,
mm-hmm.
more than 50% of people with dementia experienced some kind of abuse.
More than?
50%. So you know, it's not only increased incidence of abuse in people who are older,
mm-hmm.
but significantly increased incidence of abuse in people who have dementia or Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And I guess to your point then, if folks are living longer, the percentage of folks with Alzheimer's and dementia and altered mental status then has also increased based on the aging population,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Mm.
So, you know, we want to think about, because we come with, you know, at this discussion from a solutions-focused perspective. And I guess the question is, you know, what do you do? How do you,
yeah.
you know, how, where do you seek help?
Right.
And I say you start with your immediate circle.
Yeah. But if we could just back up for a second,
uh-huh.
just for a minute. When you talk about, you made mention of the folks that were arrested
mm-hmm.
For abusing those in their care in
mm-hmm.
a nursing home or some other healthcare institution. And you talk about as your family members and so on get older and or altered mental status and not being able to care for themselves physically and emotionally and so on. And so one other option is, rather than you yourself being so personally involved in doing it, you send them somewhere.
Right.
You know, where I think that has also become,
right,
you know, an explosion of those places being where you're sent, and you're sent off to a nursing home, and because it's convenient, but more so, you know, it's easier. You know, I'm not saying there's a place for it. There's an absolute place for it, and some people are better off there, because caring for these ones, you make a conscious decision to place them in the care of an institution that you have validated that would take good care of your loved ones. You know, and I think it's a delicate balance at times, because I think some people send them there and don't go back, or don't go back as often and become disconnected from them, and then therefore that's how they are solving the problem, so they're not as stressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think it's a balance, and I mean, it's hard either way. It's hard either way to watch your loved ones be, you know, suffering as they get older,
right,
as they get demented, and so on. So
right.
I just think it's family specific, really.
It is family specific. But when you think about folks in institutions, and
mm-hmm.
According to, again, the statistics, about close to 1 million people are living in assisted living or nursing home facilities,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there, mm-hmm. the imbalance can be significant as well when you think about the caseload,
mm-hmm.
when you think about the compensation,
mm-hmm.
well, you know, when you think about the skill level and the training and the support that mm-hmm. these workers get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no excuse for it, absolutely not. But then it's an industry that, in terms of that part of it, compensation, caseload, it's not closely regulated. So, you know, people are, you know.
Right. And it's also a business, so therefore.
It has to be profitable.
Right. It has to make sense, dollars and cents-wise, so therefore what they're being paid per day, per patient, balanced, I guess, the cost of running business. Gosh, none of this is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, you know, I want to eat healthy and do exercise and make sure that I have a, you know, a long life and so on, and good health. You know, and again, there's quantity and then there's quality of life. And I think quality of life has a great impact in terms of how you are treated and what care you need, and then by extension, the quality of care you get. I just hope and pray that those of us who have to care for loved ones and hopefully we ourselves, as we get older, we will get the quality of care that we need. You know, it's not ideal, I don't think. You can't make the blanket statement that says everyone is going to get equal amount of care that they need, but recognize that while you are caring for your loved ones, how difficult it is, and as you said, you know, if and when you need help doing that,
I think it's really important
reaching out and recognizing that this is truly really overwhelming.
No, but it has to be built in. It has to be built in as part of the care plan. Is that how do I get a break? How do I give myself a break? If you are taking on that responsibility of caring for someone else, built into that equation has to be, how will I myself get a break from this responsibility on some kind of regular, consistent basis?
Right.
I think that becomes really critical.
Yeah, it is.
Because if that does not happen, then that's where the overwhelming become, you know, begins.
Right.
You know, so I think that if there's any takeaway, it's that, you know, you have to ask for help, whether it's a day program or a church program or, you know, whatever opportunities exist for you to get, to give yourself or to get for yourself some kind of relief from the constant care of another, I think that
right.
becomes really important.
Right. I agree, because you can get so caught up in it that maybe you're not even thinking about asking for help. It's like you're fighting the good fight. You are trying to stay afloat. You're trying to, you know, live your own life, take care of your own family, work your own job, live with your own spouse, relate to your own friends, and in the middle of all of that, care for your loved one.
Right, and like you mentioned before, if you're part of that sandwich generation where you have older parents and growing children,
right.
Then it becomes even more difficult, you know, when you're having the stress of dealing with a teenager or young adults or young children, and then you also have the difficult task of caring for a parent who's older and especially one who's got dementia.
Right. Yeah. And I think, I think my, as you said, my takeaway really is to anyone who's caring for folks, their family members, is be true and honest to yourself and give yourself the opportunity to take a break and recognize when it's bigger than you, and ask for help. Where that help will come from, depending on what circle you're in. Is it your church? Is it your community group? Is it your pastor?
Is it an institution?
You know, is it someone just to talk with? You know, is it just having an open discussion with your entire family, your siblings? You know, because it could be 10 of you or 5 of you or 7 of you as children or whatever of you as children of this of these two people or this one person. But unless you share openly with your family members, guess what? A lot of them, she got it. He got it. It's no big deal. Mom and dad or mom is fine.
Right.
You know, so having that open dialogue of saying, all right, once a month or once a whatever, you know, I need a break.
You know, and I think it's really important also, Raymond, to relieve, you know, to be aware of any guilt that might come with any decision that you might make. So part of it is that as caregiver, as children, there may be guilt associated with the fact that caring for your parent at home is difficult. And so therefore you might need to place them in a home or in an assisted living facility. And that comes with its own set of guilt, you know.
Oh, I see what you mean. Coming to terms with it and saying, you know what?
This is the best for all of us.
Yeah, and it might, obviously not everybody might agree, right?
Right. You know, so that in itself is can be difficult.
Wow, that's interesting, because those who are not agreeing and saying the assisted living is the best place, they're not exactly raising their hands and saying, take them to my house.
Right.
So
it has to be the best decision for all those involved, right? You know, under the circumstances. And I think, you know, but a fair amount of guilt comes with that. And so recognizing, you know, what's causing that guilt or what's related to that guilt, and, you know, being able to process that and to relieve yourself of that, you know, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, you want to do what's best for yourself so that you can be the best caregiver that you can be and for those in your care. Right, but most importantly, it's that you are well. You are well emotionally and physically, and you're able to provide the best care for those around you.
I agree. Wow.
So that's the takeaway, I think, for today. But it's a really interesting conversation, and as we age, you know, then, you know, you see, you know, the circle of life.
Yeah.
You see.
Yeah, it's true. And I guess, you know, as you age and your family around you age, and you know, you watch your children become parents themselves and generation pass, you know, the love and the care and the connection between families, you know, gets stronger, and probably it gets even more emotionally difficult to watch the elders in your family become less able to care for themselves. It is very
difficult for them as well.
Yeah.
So I guess the takeaway is, if you need help, ask for it.
Yeah.
But evaluate the situation in an honest way and, you know, decide whether or not, you know, you need to reach out to someone, you know, to alleviate some of the stress that you're experiencing. So until next week.
Yes, hopefully it stops snowing.
Yeah, I hope so.
All right,
have a good rest of the week. Bless.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter @DiscussionDelia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.